Do you have a tricky work problem that you need to solve? I have a great podcast recommendation for you featuring a pair of expert women. Whether you're just starting your career or a seasoned professional, check out Fixable, a podcast from TED. Hosted by Harvard professor Frances Fry and her wife, leadership coach Ann Morris, the brilliant duo provide honest, actionable advice to help you navigate everything from a gaslighting manager to returning to work after parental leave. They'll leave you feeling empowered and ready to act. Listen to Fixable wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, and welcome to the Bossed Up Podcast, episode 442. I'm your host, Emily Aries, the founder and CEO of Bossed Up. And today I am so excited to be speaking with a really kindred spirit, someone who's in a very similar lane than Bossed Up, and that is Jody Flynn, the CEO and founder of Women Taking the Lead. Women Taking the Lead is a leadership development company that works with individuals, allies, and organizations to close the gender parity gap by attracting, developing, and successfully promoting more women into senior levels of leadership. Doesn't that sound familiar? Jody and I have a lot in common. And so on today's episode, we're going to be digging into the freak out, for lack of a better word, that so many women leaders have on their rise to the top. So as you are navigating being promoted or being thrown into bigger and bigger arenas of leadership, if you're feeling totally freaked out, totally out of your depth, in over your head, doubting yourself and not really sure how to productively channel that anxiety into the right focus to bring to your leadership work, today's episode is going to answer that. But first, here's a little more about Jody. She works through coaching, consulting, providing leadership development programs, and delivering keynotes. She's been featured in Entrepreneur and Forbes magazine, and she's the host of the nationally recognized Women Taking the Lead podcast, as well as an Amazon best-selling author with her book, Accomplished: How to Go from Dreaming to Doing. Jody is a co-founder of the Maine Women's Conference and has spoken at the Massachusetts Conference for Women, the Women in Banking, and Emerging Leaders Conferences. Jody, welcome to the Bossed Up Podcast.
Emily, I'm excited to be here. I'm thrilled and honored.
I feel like we're real kindred spirits. You know, even though we just met, I was like, damn, Jody's got 500 plus episodes of a podcast of your own right, focused on women in leadership. That is like game recognized game, Jody. I'm impressed.
Absolutely. I felt the same way. Somebody else tipped me off and said, hey, you really need to talk to Emily. And you were just lovely when I reached out to you. And I felt like in that first conversation, we absolutely clicked. And then when I, you know, was checking out your podcast and you were like, this is focused on women leaders within the workplace, I was like, yes, that's where I'm hanging out right now too.
I love it. And you've been in business for quite a while, right? When did you start your business?
I started my business in the late summer, fall of 2010. So going on almost 14 years now.
That's amazing. And that's Women Taking the Lead. What inspired you to start working with women leaders?
What was interesting is when I started my business, I wasn't narrowed in on just working with women. It was actually going to be caregivers. So the slant was towards women. But then what I found was I wasn't a caregiver, right? I'm not a mom. And so, you know, when you're coaching and working with people, you do need to have some understanding, some experience of what they're going through. And, you know, although my heart was in the right place and people were excited about the work that I was doing, what really resonated was women who came up to me and they were like, all right, I don't have kids or caregiving's not my issue. It's around who I am in my business. And I was like, I can work with you. And I was working with women and men, but I found that over time, because, you know, when you're new to coaching, you're still kind of figuring it out. Like, who do I love working with? What do I love talking about? And what problems do I love helping people with? And I just found myself more and more being drawn to the unique challenges that women have as leaders, because at that time, 14 years ago, although some people were talking about it, there was almost this sense of like, it isn't different. Like, training wasn't different. Coaching wasn't different. Books written about business and leadership were written kind of from the perspective of this applies to all leaders. And it didn't. It didn't. I found that the women I was coaching, they had a unique set of challenges that the men I was coaching just weren't experiencing. There's some overlap, but in a Venn diagram, there were definitely some things that one or the other were not experiencing. And I'm just going to put it in the language that is true for me. Like, I felt a spiritual calling to work with women, you know, because I just recognize that the world in general, although I focus in on the workplace and careers, the world needs more women in leadership. We need more gender parity, and we would not have the problems we have today if we had an equal number of women and men making decisions together.
Amen. Preach, Jody. I'm here for it. No, I think it's beautiful. You know, it's so funny. Every business has its iterations. You know what I mean? And it's great to see you really hone in on supporting women working within. And, you know, I want to zoom in today on a challenge that we identified as common among the clients that we serve, which I think is very common among perhaps women listening to this podcast right now, which is on the rise while they're making that transition into a leadership position. Maybe it's a first-time manager position. Maybe it's a first-time director level or senior manager position. But when you are rising and increasing your visibility, maybe there are fewer women or fewer folks of color or just fewer folks who look like you around at the level of seniority you all of a sudden find yourself in, a lot of women we talk to kind of have a freak out, right? Kind of have a crisis of confidence. What does that often sound like when it's the coaching clients that you work with?
Oh, yeah. And I have to say, it's often in a different place for every woman, right? It doesn't always occur. So there might be some people who are like, no, when I took that promotion, I was good to go. I was excited. I was grooving. I was jamming. But I guarantee you there will be a level at which you go, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? How did I end up here? It all sounded great when I was offered the promotion, but now I'm in it and I'm freaking out. And so what it sounds like when I'm talking to, because this will be in a discovery call that I will hear this where, you know, they'll say things like, maybe they picked the wrong person, or, oh my God, I'm underwater. I can't keep up. My significant other is mad at me because I'm working all of the time. And, you know, those imposter syndrome messages of like, maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe they picked the wrong person. All of that starts to happen. But it is like just this sense of like, eesh, this doesn't feel good. This isn't what I wanted. And there is absolutely a foot on the brakes of any further advancement. Because sometimes women come to me in this state telling me they're already trying to groom me for the next promotion. It may not be this year, but like, you know, the higher you get, the sooner you hear whether or not you're being prepared for the next senior level position. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday, their CEO is planning on retiring in 3 years. I'm like, so what's the succession plan? You're next in line. What's going on? She's like, no succession plan. I'm like, that is unusual. Better get going. Because there's a lot of things to figure out. But no matter where they are, it is also very common because they're very talented, they're capable, they're competent, they were chosen for a reason. So they're already being talked to about like the next move. And they're like putting up all the stop signs and the brakes.
And I feel like it's a weird position to be in, because one part of you is saying, I should be grateful. I should be thrilled to be here. You know, there are so many women I know who are so frustrated and halted and feel stalled and feel stuck. And maybe that was me just 5 years ago. I felt like I couldn't get here. And now I'm here and I'm filled with regret and fear and anxiety. And I'm ready to burn the hell out because I'm working all the time. And it's like, it's sort of this feeling of like shame on top of sadness or on top of disappointment that's like, I shouldn't be feeling the negative feelings that I'm feeling. And so that can just like cause such a spiral, doesn't it?
Absolutely. In my own experience, I also, when taking a big promotion, had moved out of state by myself, right? So I was like in a new home, away from family. It was a great opportunity, but a week or so in, I was throwing up before going to work. And between you and me, Emily, because we do what we do, right? We get it done. I would still like brush my teeth, take a shower, get dressed, go to work, and just deal with whatever was coming at me. And then the next morning also filled with dread, like, oh my God, how am I going to get through today? And what have I done to my life, right? Because I can't just turn around and go home. Like I'm in it. Although I will say I was committed, but I was freaking out. I was like, am I ready for this? Like, am I going to totally mess this up? So it's very common.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to just say, like, that is the feeling of being on your growth edge, yes, right?
Right.
Like, if you don't feel that every now and then, you're probably not pushing yourself. You're probably not on your growth edge. Or you have, like, egomaniacal tendencies, right, where you think you can do no wrong. So it's like, you know, it doesn't feel very good when you're in it. But looking back at moments in my career where I've been like, oh, my God, I'm totally in over my head. I just talked my way here. They have no idea that I've, as Maya Angelou would say, like run a game on them all. You know what I mean? And so once you're in that arena, you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm way in over my head. How do we help those folks and predominantly women shift their perspective of how they're providing value in a more senior leadership role? Because that's really what this is about, right? It's like overworking and being in the weeds and every single detail and being micromanaging is not anyone's goal as a leader, but often happens because of anxiety and a desire to control, right?
Yes, 100%. And I saw that in myself too. When I was stressed out, I would get in the weeds of things because I felt in control in that place. But that's a destructive behavior when you're now leading a team of people, because you're sending unconscious messages that I don't trust you, or I think I can do it better, you know, and we don't want to disempower our teams. And I want to go back and say, we definitely don't want anyone in the position where you're throwing up before you go to work every day. But yes, you want to push your edge, right? That is a feeling of being alive of like, I don't know, I'm going for it, but I don't know. But, you know, and it's a dual thing. I will say initially where I start with my clients is, where are you in terms of what you think about yourself and your identity, right? Did you envision yourself in this role? Do you have a sense of, yes, they picked the right person, like I was clearly the right choice for this, or I can do this, right? That identity of, you know, whether you are now a supervisor or a director or a VP, have you owned that is who you are? Because James Clear, when he wrote Atomic Habits, there was a chapter in his book that really resonated with me when he said, we can make behavior changes, not when we say, like, for instance, I want to start exercising or I want to start running. Like, it's easier to make the change when you take on and embrace, I am a runner. So it's that identity piece that makes everything else that much easier. So if you have been promoted to director, like really taking on, I am a director. Because if you're sitting in those meetings with directors, wondering why the heck you're in that room because you don't feel like you belong, it might be in your own head.
Right. And you got to be in your own corner, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you got to be in your own corner. I like this idea also of like personifying that identity sometimes, because like, even Beyonce has Sasha Fierce, who's yes. like her alter ego, right? Who's yes. like, she doesn't want to be like Beyonce on stage in a bodysuit, you know, twerking is like, oh my gosh, sometimes she feels like she can't do this, but Sasha Fierce can do this. And so it's like, look, we have our inner critic and we can have our inner boss identity who's saying like, of course you belong here and here's why. And maybe like figuring out how do we script the narrative or like give some lines to that inner Sasha Fierce within each of us so that we can counterbalance the doubt.
I love how you put that. Like, what is your inner boss identity? Like, what's the name? Do you have a nickname? What's the script? That sort of thing. Being genuine to this is a part of yourself, because Beyonce will say Sasha Fierce is a part of her. It's just she really embodies that because it takes something to be on stage and be in front of all of those people. It's just like for you and I, when we do public speaking, there is an additional layer of your identity that you really own and embrace when you're up there, because you're not that way in your private life with your family. It's just a component of you that you really bring to the forefront. So I love where we're going with this, Emily. So I would say for those of you who have been promoted and you're freaking out, like, what is that part of you that you can bring to the forefront that's got this, like that really can do this?
Right. And that's like the inner work first.
Yes. Inner work first. Yep. And then to your question, the value that you bring, this is a perspective change that is really necessary as you rise through the levels of leadership. So if you are taking on more people, and I don't mean direct reports, right? Because we don't want to be overwhelmed there, but just like under, you know, the people who report directly to you and the people who then report directly to them, the more people you have in the more responsibility you have, the more you have to step away from the frontline work and doing all of the things and really leaning into your people and delegating and allowing them to do their best work. And there's a perspective that can make this easier, because what I find common with women is they want to protect their teams. If they feel overwhelmed, we automatically project our experience onto other people, unless we're being conscious of it, unless we're being aware of it. It just happens. If we're in our own world and we're in autopilot, if we're overwhelmed, we automatically assume everyone else must be overwhelmed as well, unless they're just loafing around. And then we're just annoyed with them. But that's not usually the case. So what happens is, as women, if we're in that mode, what we start doing is, I don't want to delegate because my team's already so busy. They're so busy. And with my clients, whenever I challenge that perception of reality by saying, like, have you asked them? Or like, have you investigated? Like, what's keeping them busy? Are they saying they're busy? Or are they, what is it that is going on? And have you asked them, could you take on more work? It's amazing how many times they come back and go, oh my gosh, my team feels like I'm doing too much and that I'm hoarding the work, and that they're more than willing to take on more because they see that I'm getting overwhelmed. This is another thing that leaders often don't realize, is that when they are overwhelmed and super busy, they freak out their people.
Totally. And their people feel like they're not focused on the things that they should be focused on, which are different than doing all the work.
Doing all of the work, yes.
There's some really good evidence in the Academy of Management journal back in 2018 about pretty significant gender differences in delegation. Women are less willing to delegate. And even when they reframe delegation as more of a communal act instead of this like authoritarian action of just dumping work onto others, those gender differences start to close a little bit. But women experience more guilt when delegating, and that can really be a barrier.
Yes. And I love that you brought that up, Emily, because that is the solution. And what I give to my clients to consider is you're no longer the person who's getting the work done. You're no longer the fixer, right? Because a lot of us identify as being the fixer. People bring problems to me and I fix them. You are now developing future leaders. That's your job. Your job is to develop your people. And you can't do that if they're not given a chance to do the work. So you have to delegate those tasks. I can't tell you how many women I've talked to where they've been promoted and then they admit, they don't want to admit it, but they admit it guiltily that they're still holding on to responsibilities from their former position.
It's our comfort zone. You know what I mean? I want to feel productive. Therefore, I need some tasks to cross off my to-do list. And it's like hoarding all those tasks is not helping you. But oftentimes, women in our Level Up Leadership Accelerator will admit at the start of our program, like, I don't really know what else I should be doing. I don't know what it looks like to be a visionary. I don't know what it looks like to be focused on strategy. I don't know what it looks like to be focused on developing others. Because rarely is that transition made explicit. Right? It's just not very well communicated.
It's not. And in my own experience, when I was promoted to be a junior executive, I can't remember how long it took, but it was within the first like couple of months. My boss was at my door one day and she just looked at me and I looked back at her and I was like, what? She said, get out of the queue. Like there was a queue that where my team was, one of my teams was working in and I was helping them because I know how to do the work. And I saw that they were really busy. So I thought I'll jump in, I'll take care of some of these things. And she caught it. And I was like, I want to help. Like, what am I, you know? And it was like, what am I supposed to do? You know, because I was caught up on everything else. And she's like, no. That is not your job anymore. Your job is to trust your team, let them know you're here, and you will get resources for them if they need resources, but you are no longer allowed to jump in and help and do the work. And I was like, what is it you want me to do? And she's like, I want you walking around the building and building relationships with people who are in other divisions and other departments, all different levels, and just be friendly. I was like, you want me to spend half my day just building relationships, right? And as like a high achiever and a doer, like my brain exploded. I'm like, this makes no sense to me at all. And she explained, she said, you will need them. You will need them at some point and probably some point soon. There will be a time you'll need to collaborate on an initiative or your team will need help. And instead of just getting help from you, you can reach out to other divisions to say, could some people, more than one, help out? And that's exactly what happened.
Oh, interesting.
I did. Yeah. It took a while for me to get used to like, hey, I'm dropping by to chat and this is work. In air quotes.
Well, I can just hear those folks tuning in right now whose brains are currently exploding like yours was back in the day because they're like, this is what managers do. This is what directors do. This is what executives do. And kind of scoffing a little bit. And to be clear, we're not saying that we are better than frontline work. We're not above frontline work. But what we are saying is that senior leaders have a duty, have an obligation to be focused elsewhere, right? To be able to envision the future by keeping a pulse on the horizon line and seeing what's out there, what's happening across the enterprise, what opportunities for synergy might exist. And that provides an immense strategic value, not only to your department and the folks who you're responsible for, but also to the whole organization. And that looks really different than like producing more widgets or just getting more tasks done on your to-do list, right?
100%. You multiply. You're in a position where you can multiply the value you bring not only just to your team, because my team felt the benefits of it, but to other divisions as well. And part of it is also being a connector too. I was talking recently with a client who said that in her company, she went to a conference and another woman who works in her company, but a completely different division, went to the conference. They happened to chat while they were there. And this woman, a year later, reached out to her and she said, "Hey, we are in trouble. We need a scrum master in order to get this project off the ground. We can't find anybody. We're not even able to hire anyone. Is there any chance you have a scrum master in your division?" And she was like, "Yeah, this is their name. Here's their email." And then that person was able to be reassigned to this group for a short while. They got their project off the, like, this is what we're talking about. Like, the more people you connect with, the more you can also reach out for resources, collaboration. And it's really, it's a skill that's so needed and makes your life easier. Like, imagine if instead of trying to like go it alone and fix all the problems yourself, you now reach out to your network. How much more quickly could you get things done? The time saved.
And it also just reminds me of how creative leadership is as a practice. Like, if you pride yourself on being a phenomenal marketer and you miss the creativity of copywriting and campaign planning and strategizing multi-channel marketing campaigns, like, if you're now all of a sudden a senior manager or director level, there's a whole new skill set that also involves a hell of a lot of creativity, which is creatively resourcing strategies across an enterprise through those relationships. And it is a very dynamic, but totally different skill set, right?
Yes, it's totally different, but not. The way you described it, I was like, "Oh, I wish I was that person at that level," right? That like, okay, there's this blank canvas almost, like, what are we going to do differently this year? How are we going to, instead of just impacting one department or one division, being able to impact the whole company? And, you know, it's really about a little bit of letting go. Just like when you go from grammar school to junior high to high school to college, you got to let go of some things to take on more challenges, but you will discover all new parts of yourself, you know, aspects and skills and talents and abilities that you weren't aware of before. And yes, creativity will still be needed, but you'll have to channel it a little bit different. Right? It'll look more strategic and visionary, right? And you do, the higher you go, the more you have to be, not that you're out of touch with what's going on, right? With the work, you definitely want to know what's happening, but you also have to free up time and free up mental bandwidth to be able to think about, where are we going? How are we going to get there? How do we utilize our resources the best, right? And then the value you're bringing to the people and to the company, like, it's just exponential.
So when it comes to women who are listening in and thinking, "I theoretically am on board, okay? I recognize that I'm probably holding on too much, not delegating enough." Your advice thus far on how to adapt to new levels of leadership looks like, you know, start with the inner work, making sure your mindset is right. Lean into relationship building. I heard that loud and clear. Free up some mental resources and time to devote to visionary and strategic leadership. Is there anything else that you would say to help women who recognize that they need to make a shift actually start to make that shift happen?
You know, Emily, what popped into my head is what we didn't mention, and it's so basic, and it's where I, right after assessments and discovery, I go with my clients is, how are you taking care of yourself so that you're bringing your best self forward? Because one of the issues that when a woman comes to me, she's overwhelmed, she's been promoted, she's been bogged down. What typically has happened is she will say, "Oh, I don't have time to take care of myself anymore. I don't have time for my hobbies. I don't have, you know, I barely have time for my family and my social life." Like, all of the things she started sacrificing because she hasn't been delegating the work and has been super overwhelmed and not believing in herself. And it's so important to get back there. and not like just in a bubble bath manicure kind of way, but what are all of the things that feed your soul and are necessary for you to bring your best self forward? Because when we are depleted, tired, overwhelmed, we're not in the best place to deal with stress or challenges and things that your best self would be like, okay, yep, this is a challenge, but we'll figure it out. Your overwhelmed self will just like crumple, right? And you'll find yourself like, and that's where when we get completely depleted and we're like, you know what, I need to take a mental health day. I need to check out for a while, or I'm just exhausted and I'm going to have to cancel plans tonight or this weekend because I need to recover. So it's so important, even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, to start infusing those things that feed your soul and rejuvenate you back into your day.
I love that. And in such a fundamental way, just like fuel your brain, right? If all of a sudden you have a brand new creative challenge before you that is a senior leadership role, you know, the answer is not to push through and hustle hard. It's like, am I eating right? Am I exercising? Is my brain full of stress hormones right now? Because it's not going to operate at its optimal level if that's the case. Like, I need to be training for this role like an athlete. And so many of us get the different message that you just got to hustle hard and, you know, work hard and push through.
Yeah, pushing, hustling. If you're getting those messages, like both of us are making a face. Ugh.
We are. Like, we're like,
especially for women, that doesn't work. Like, collaboration works better for women than hustle or pushing. I don't even know many men where like they can sustain that type of energy or mentality.
Well, I'm thinking like Wolf of Wall Street comes to mind, right? And I'm just like,
Gary V. Wolf of Wall Street.
Right. Yeah. That whole machismo, coked out culture of the 1980s Wall Street, right? Like, that is nothing to aspire to. Like, no one was doing their best mental work then. And like, that is not what we want to aim for. To your earlier point, like, more women and more gender parity in the world would make for better outcomes and probably more ethical outcomes at that, right?
100%. And like, you want to think about the times where you've like pushed through to get to the finish line. You may have gotten to the finish line, but when you look back, how many relationships have been destroyed and, or maybe not destroyed, but need repair? How many people do you need to apologize to? How long of a vacation do you need to take in order to recover and get back to yourself? Pushing will get you over the line. It's just, do you want to deal with the carnage that's going to be there on the other side, rather than, like you said, Emily, is taking a step back, feeding your brain, taking some space, thinking things through, being strategic, utilizing the resources and the people who are around you so that you can cross that finish line in a healthy, happy, productive state, and your team appreciates it as well.
There was an episode I did a couple months ago now with Marisol Erlacher called Women of Color in Leadership and Trauma at Work. Sorry, her name is Marisol Solarte Erlacher. And she said, you know, at what cost did you get here? At what cost did you get through that? And it's like physical, emotional, psychological, relational. Like, the carnage left behind in the wake of our achievement can sometimes be insurmountable. And it's really about asking yourself, am I willing to put myself through something full on traumatic for success that looks successful on paper? And that cannot be how we get to the finish line. I agree.
No, or to the next level, right? Because this is the reason why most women are like, put on the brakes, let's just stay here. This is good, because they don't feel like they'd be capable and there would be more carnage.
Well, there's a new ambition gap between men and women, and just a growing succession gap among all people who are saying, never mind, no thanks, I don't really want to be the boss. And that's troubling for our succession planning goals, right? That's, you know, to go back to your earlier point, I did an episode just a couple of weeks ago, episode 437, about the growing succession gap, which is like, more and more people are like opting out of that climbing the ladder option. So making it sustainable as the prerequisite for continued growth is such a good way of flipping that narrative.
One of the things that jumped out at me from McKinsey's, it was their 2002 Women in the Workplace study. They cited that 2/3 of women under 30, right? The future of leadership, 2/3 said they would be more interested in advancing if they saw senior leaders with the work-life balance that they wanted. So for those of you women who are over 30 and in those senior leadership positions, what are you modeling for the women who are coming after you? Now, this is the thing. Gallup and McKinsey have also identified that women are still ambitious. They still do want to advance in their careers. They want to have a greater impact and all of that, but they've got concerns and we need to address those.
Yeah, totally. And frankly, I think millennial dads give me a lot of hope too, because we're seeing the work-life balance demand and concern really peaking for millennial caregivers across the gender spectrum right now. So you and I could talk all day.
I know. I do want to say this one last thing, because I think sometimes when people think like, wow, if we're like removing obstacles for women to rise into senior leadership, those things are going to hurt men. Actually, no, they help men, because the things that help women help men. So having more flexibility, like having benefits and healthcare packages that allow for paternity leave as well as maternity leave. These are things that, like you said, millennials want and we all benefit from, right? It was millennials who pushed for more work from home. And thank goodness for that. Because when the pandemic hit, a lot of companies were like, we've already been thinking about this. So let's just roll out the plan that we hadn't approved yet.
Well, one last question for you. On your website, you've got an assessment that anyone can take about, you know, understanding your leadership operating system and whether or not it needs a little systems upgrade. For someone who's transitioning into a leadership role, what is that and how might it be relevant for them?
Yeah, it's an inventory where you self-assess on 25 different leadership skills, and they relate to leading yourself. We talked a lot about that, leading others, communication, influence, and self-care. Like, how are you doing in that area as well? So that you can see at a glance, okay, what are my strengths? What am I doing really good at? Where can I lean in and leverage the areas I'm doing well? And where are the areas of opportunity for me? And I think sometimes when people are in a place of like, tell me what to do, give me some guidance, tell me what I should be working on, this could be a good place to go, because depending on your workplace, some of them are so good at this, at really developing their talent and help and giving their employees opportunities to develop themselves, but some are not. They just don't have the resources for it, or they're not believing in it yet. And so this is a free inventory that anyone can take where they can identify like, okay, where can I grow so that I'm feeling more confident and more competent, right? Because when we lack confidence, we start to feel incompetent as well. So things we can work on so we can get back to that place. Because when we feel good as a leader, we do well, right? We perform well.
Where can our listeners get that access to that inventory and learn more about you and all you have to offer?
Yeah, my hub is womentakingthelead.com, and women is plural.
Okay, love that. And what's the name of your podcast too, since they're listening to a podcast right now?
Yeah, same name. It's the Women Taking the Lead podcast. You can look that up in any app that you're on or on the website. And my favorite platform to connect with people is LinkedIn. So, and you can easily find me on LinkedIn because I'm very active. So if you search for Jody Flynn.
You are a top leadership development voice on yes. LinkedIn. I saw that. Fancy. Fancy badge. Congratulations.
My new badge.
Good for you. We'll drop all those links in today's show notes. Jody, thank you so much for joining me today.
Emily, it was my pleasure, and I can't wait to have you on Women Taking the Lead as well.
For links to all the great resources Jody and I mentioned in today's conversation, head to bossedup.org/episode442. That's bossedup.org/episode442. You'll also find a fully written out and easily shareable blog post, as well as a full transcript of today's conversation. Now, I want to hear from you. If you are a woman on the rise who may or may not be freaking out as you ascend to the top of your career, how's it going? Are you experiencing any of this anxiety and freak out or burnout? And if so, does any of the advice that Jody and I talked through today resonate with you? How might you get out of the weeds and free yourself to focus on relationship building, envisioning, and strategic level thinking so that you can bring an even greater and more influential, as Jody might say, exponential value to your organization? Let's keep the conversation going, as always, in the Bossed Up Courage community on Facebook or in our Bossed Up group on LinkedIn. And until next time, let's keep bossing in pursuit of our purpose. And together, let's lift as we climb. Let's face it, speaking up at work can be really hard to do, especially for women and women of color. When the stakes are high and you've already worked so hard to just be the only woman in the room, and you want to get everything right, you want to have all your facts and figures accurate before making your voice heard, it's just so much easier to stay silent instead. Researcher Deb Jahansky calls this loss of voice phenomenon, and it actually emerges in adolescent women at greater rates than men, and it sticks with us for the rest of our lives. Self-silencing behavior can actually become an unconscious habit unless we consciously engage in practicing our assertive communication skills. And we here at Bossed Up have set out to help women like you do just that. Speak Up, my live assertive communication course, is back open for enrollment, and we're kicking off a new cohort launching this June. Over the course of 8 life-changing weeks, you'll have access to interactive online curriculum and live weekly practice sessions where you, Irene, and I, and a cohort of fellow Speak Up bosses who are owning their voice, overcoming the social messages that have taught us to keep silent, and really learning to strategically and assertively communicate when it matters most, will actually have the practice time to rewire our brains, create new neural pathways, and build better habits when it comes to speaking up with confidence and precision and assertively communicating in the workplace. Learn more and enroll today to secure your spot at bossedup.org/speakup. That's bossedup.org/speakup.